absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
This is show number 62 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast that covers all things intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. I very much enjoyed the last show from Lawrence in Germany, all about stereotypes. It's a difficult area, but it's key to intercultural encounters. Of course, he's right that we all have stereotypes, and certainly I have quite a few regarding, for example, the role of women in Arabic countries. These beliefs come from what I've heard and read about, because I have no direct experience of Arabic culture apart from a short holiday spent in Tunisia, and that's over 15 years ago. Perhaps that's why I found Mark Karstad's presentation at a recent conference so fascinating, because he confirmed some of my stereotypes, but debunked some others. So today, we're going to go to Dubai, to which increasing numbers of tourists and business people are coming. How do you prepare the professional women of a very conservative society with fairly strict gender separation for these intercultural encounters? Mark Karstad has just returned to Canada after spending 5 years in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, where he was instructional designer at Dubai Women's College. When only a handful of students choose to attend a trade fair in China out of a cohort of over 200, then the staff have to become a bit more creative about how to offer intercultural experiences. We're devoting the whole show to this conversation with Mark, in which he describes Dubai's position in the world.
Because Dubai is really in the middle of the whole world.
I should explain that we are talking about how Mark used Second Life, an online world on the internet, to help his students discover other parts of the world through virtual field trips. The only other thing you need to know about these virtual worlds is that you have to choose a character called an avatar to represent yourself. So how would the women of Dubai choose to dress themselves online? Would it be their public covered attire or their private high fashion personas?
And this lady came over to me and said, shame on you, your students should be covered. This, even though this is not Mecca, it's a representation and should be respected as such.
The rest of the time, we talked about Mark's position as a male member of staff in a woman's institution.
You know, I don't think that I ever brushed shoulders with any of our students in a stairwell, in a hall, or anywhere on that campus in the 5 years that I was there.
Here in Denmark, Arabic female dress is increasingly seen as a political statement, but for Mark Karstad, there is a drastically different perspective.
As a male teacher or a male staff member, you knock on the door and you wait until one of the students say, okay, and then you go in. What it is it's truly an invasion of privacy.
One more thing you need to know is the meaning of the word bling. This is a new word in the English language to describe ostentatious and expensive ornamentation, usually jewelry. So let's go absolutely virtual and hear how and why Mark took the ladies of Dubai Women's College into Second Life. And then we'll hear about what is absolutely private.
You were living and working in the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, I worked at Dubai Women's College in Dubai for 5 years. I guess what I do is I'm a bit of an internal consultant, and I have an educational psychology master's, and I have a fairly extensive background in online learning. And I've combined the two of them into something called a profession called instructional design. Every year, our college encourages for language learning and for global awareness the students to be exposed to other cultures, because Dubai is really in the middle of the whole world and is between Australia, Europe, Africa, the Far East. Everybody seems to be coming through Dubai now. And the students that we have are all citizens of the country, or what we call nationals. And these students need to be exposed to other cultures because they do come from a very sheltered background. And so what we decided to do was to do something that we call a virtual international experience. And a virtual international experience then allows us to do everything from video conferencing with other colleges and other students, which is really rather one-dimensional. Another way would be to do with exchanging emails as pen pals. But Second Life came along, and we thought, this is really great, because we could actually get these students walking around and interacting with each other. And the two teachers were able to get together, one with a school in Korea called, I think it was CASE, and another one, which is out of Ohio State University. And these two teachers at our college put together activities for the students. And so what I did is I needed to not only teach the students how to use Second Life, but what Second Life was. And because of our college, the students being very conservative, we had to go through the whole process of trying to get them to be aware of the risks and the dangers, not only that they are exposing themselves to potentially, but even our institution having the courage to go out into this environment, which really has very few checks and balances for an Islamic culture, and to get them to see what it is that's out in Second Life and take the risk of being exposed, yet getting them to understand what it is that is out there. I mean, everywhere you turn around, you're exposed to skin, which is a different color of your skin and a different color of your hair, a different color of your eyes and things like that. And to expose a very, very conservative culture to that type of thing, either inadvertently or accidentally or somehow, and with somebody standing behind them that doesn't know what the student is doing, a family member, per se, we were putting ourselves in a very high place of risk. So I had to really educate these students. And there were a number of students that chose not to expose themselves to Second Life. And this was okay, because you have to accept that.
It was interesting what you said about how they chose to represent themselves, because presumably when they're out in public, they would have to be covered. So how did they choose to represent themselves in Second Life?
I think the coincidental word or term would be bling. These ladies are very vivacious. They're very, very creative, and they're very expressive. But not for the public. As they walk around our college, it is a women's college. They have gone through a gate. There is a huge wall all around this very large campus. There's 2,200 students on our campus. Almost every single one of them is covered. Maybe not their head. Most of them, yes, their head. But they all have the abaya, which is a black sort of cape that comes in many different shapes and sizes. And probably about 80 or 85% of them have a shayla, which is over their head. And maybe, 3% or so have their face completely covered, so all you see is their eyes. And maybe down to 1 or 2% even have gloves on. And so you've got a wide variety, and very, very few at all will actually not have any covering on and just be like a Western woman. But under that, they've got bright colored skirts and dresses. You can see their shoes are very expensive. Most everything is designer clothes. Their handbags are all designer handbags, Louis Vuitton, whatever. And they're very, very expressive in that way. So when we thought, because they're all covered, when they get into Second Life, oh my goodness, they're going to be all covered. And we thought, well, we better start selling abayas, because we can make abayas and give them to them. And that was the least of their concerns. They were going, what? No. I want to express myself. And so almost all of them had a lot of bling on, and flashy, and high heels, the whole thing, basically what they're like underneath their abayas, and if not more so. And one of the international virtual exchanges we did, which was with Ohio State University, their group of students came dressed in their cultural outfits. So if a person was from Poland, they came dressed in their heritage outfit, as a number of other students also did, be it even just Western outfit or something like that. But it was a request that our students would also dress in their local attire. Mm. So they agreed. There's no problem. They agreed. You know, so they put on their abayas and everything, and we supplied them with stuff. And actually, the teacher over from Ohio State actually put together something fairly quickly and gave it to our teacher to give out to the students. So the students, a lot of them, looked much the same, except for their faces. But it was interesting. As soon as the other students were gone, those abayas and shalas were off and around back in there with their normal clothes, in their normal sort of attire or avatar attire as they would normally have. So they did not keep their national dress on, as they call it.
And I understand that they got into trouble when they visited a place, Islam Online, was it? When
That's
they were
right. Yes.
Yeah, dressed in their bling outfits.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was taking around a few students to train them and teach them about the different places in Second Life. And I had chosen about four different safe places. One was Islam Online, which is a representation of Mecca. And it even has the Kaaba, that square cube, that when people are doing the Hajj, they walk around. And so I took them to that place, knowing that there wouldn't be any things that they would be exposed to that they might find offensive. And so while we were there, there was a lady who actually we realized was from Saudi Arabia. She was fully covered in black, the whole outfit. And our students I had taken in, I came up to the edge and just sort of stood there and let the students go in. And I was still chatting with them. And they went in there, and the one in particular went over and walked around. And I was teaching them about these pose balls. You can click on a little ball, and your avatar can go through the ritual of the prayer. With the palms up, and then down on your knees, and then rocking back and forth, and then standing back up again, and so on. And I was telling them about this because what I had is I had the students in a classroom. They had their laptops open, and they were there with me, physically with me. And up on the screen, we had projected my laptop so that we could all see what I was seeing as well as what they were seeing. So we were all not only in Second Life together, but we were in real life in the classroom and showing them how to work, how to go, what to do, what to see, and how to navigate. And so anyways, this one student had gone in, and this lady came over to me and said, shame on you, your student should be covered. This, even though this is not Mecca, it's a representation and should be respected as such. And I said, yes, that's right. And she just turned around, and her avatar then walked off over to where the other student was, who was just sort of milling around. And I don't know what it was, because they were beyond 20 meters in Second Life, and you can't see what they're chatting about. But she talked to this other student, and then the student sort of wandered away and came back over to where we were standing. And I said, "What happened?" She says, "Oh, she told me I shouldn't be there because it was inappropriate. I was inappropriately dressed."
I'm a bit surprised about this because, for example, I've tried to visit a place which in Second Life, which is a representation of turn of the century Paris. And there's a strict dress code, which if you don't adhere to it, you are banned for life. And in the end, I wasn't very clever in Second Life at that time, and I couldn't work out how to change my clothes. So I decided not to go because I didn't want to be banned. So I'm surprised that there isn't a dress code, similar sort of thing, for this particular Second Life place.
I wasn't really intending on having my students change their attire. All I wanted to do is just bring them, show them what it was, and then leave. But there aren't people policing there. This lady just happened to have been there because she had turned up. She was just a concerned citizen about the religious importance of this site, not only that it was a representation, but she felt it had value to her own faith.
Do you feel that these virtual field trips are of any value for increasing your students' intercultural understanding?
Yeah, good question. I believe it is, because like you said, the value of people's cultures, your example about the dress code, if it's important enough for people to even make something required, it indicates the importance of it. I would encourage any country. I know the Maldives and a number of other places have got actual consulates, embassies in Second Life representing. I know that England has got themselves an island that they're using to try to attract tourists to England through maybe giving them a bit of a sample of what England is all about. And I think through these processes, people can learn about other cultures, and especially if they interact with people from other cultures. I think it's very good. And in today's the cost of fuel and the hassles that are getting greater and greater, that I think this type of stuff, like Second Life, is very valuable to give. Obviously, it's different. It's a different flavor, but it is a very good way to give a different idea. I took my students to the virtual Darfur as an example of a safe place. I wanted to show them how not only aid, but a cultural awareness of global issues and regional issues can be represented through Second Life. I believe this is just a phenomenal opportunity for our students to be exposed to issues that are of global nature and importance, not only to their own culture, but to their own beliefs and about issues like that. And this type of opportunity is phenomenal.
And so your students would not have had any opportunity to go abroad in real life?
We do encourage our students to go abroad, but, you know, it's always for the few. Of maybe 200 or 300 students that went last year, the year before, to China to a large trade fair, of the class group, I think something like 13 people actually went. Mm. So you've got 200 and some people not going. And so, no, international travel is not for everybody. The logistics just make it so that it can't be done.
And it was another interesting point that came up during your conference talk was about the everyday classroom, or should I say college setting, and your status as a man in a woman's college. Can you tell us a bit about that?
You know, I don't think that I ever brushed shoulders with any of our students in a stairwell, in a hall, or anywhere on that campus in the 5 years that I was there. You go to any other college or university, as you're walking through the student union or something like that, you bump into people. You turn around and, oh, excuse me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an awareness of physical space that I was aware of, that I never made contact with a single student during that whole time. And I can feel proud of that, because it would have been uncomfortable for that student and me to have made that contact, because it was inappropriate. As you go up the stairs, the students would walk ahead of you, and generally they're slow. So you sort of plod along behind until they get up to the top. And when you go through the doorway, you make way for them to come in, you go out. So there's all just this physical space. But not only that, the classrooms, when you walk down a hall and you go to visit a classroom as a male teacher or a male staff member, you knock on the door, and you wait until one of the students say, okay, and then you go in. Because generally, while they're in the classroom, they would have their shale off, their head covering off.
Mm.
And they might even have their abaya off, just the cape that they wear off also, because they're free. If there's a female teacher in there, no problem, completely whatever, just like family. But when there's a strange male or a non-family male that is around, then it's expected to be covered. And so you, as a male teacher, you would never just walk up to a door and open it and walk in. Even if you were the teacher of that class, you would knock, stand, wait until you're told that it's okay, and then you come in.
Is this something you had to be told?
Yeah, you're just told that just don't walk into it. You know, it's truly an invasion of privacy, and you respect the students for that. You don't want to invade their privacy. Everything's fine when they've got their hair covered. You don't want to put them into the uncomfortable situation of exposing themselves. So you respect them. It wouldn't be embarrassing for me, but I know it would be embarrassing for them. Because, yeah. I mean, goodness, I walk around malls everywhere. Western people, they all walk with their head uncovered.
Mm.
But these students don't. And so I wouldn't want to put them into that situation.
I could have talked with Mark much longer about all sorts of issues to do with these virtual field trips. If you have any questions or observations, then why not add a comment to our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, and who knows, Mark may be able to respond. We don't often make promises about future shows, perhaps because we're never 100% certain that our plans will succeed. Last year, for example, I had a very interesting conversation with a teacher in Argentina about how she incorporates intercultural contacts in her English teaching, only to find afterwards that I hadn't recorded the interview at all. However, I think I am on fairly certain ground when I tell you that both Laura and I will be featuring China within the next couple of months because of the Olympic Games. However, please don't expect sport reports or medal tallies, as we'll be attempting to bring a flavour of this vast country, its people and its language instead. If you have any comments or questions about this show, past shows or upcoming shows, then don't hesitate to get in touch. The next show will be coming to you from Germany on the 8th of August with Laurent Borgmann. So in the meantime, stay tuned, won't you?
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.